we are all in need of exhortation, and now I'll ask our brother David to give us those necessary words.
Good morning again, my dear brothers and sisters. We're going to think about the fruit of the Spirit for our exhortation this morning. And I'd like if you would to come to Galatians chapter 5 with me. So we're going to start in verse 16, Galatians 5 and verse 16. Paul says this: "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So some great advice from Paul there, isn't there? He doesn't say, don't walk in the flesh, does he? He says, walk in the Spirit. He's giving us advice about what we should be doing rather than what we should not be doing. Walk in the Spirit. And our walk to the kingdom should be focused on the things of God, shouldn't it? And if our lives get filled up with spiritual things, there will be no room for the things of this world to occupy our time. So this morning, we're not going to think about the things of the flesh. What we are going to do is to focus on the things of God, which Paul describes for us here as the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Well, the great thing about fruit is that it grows, doesn't it? Paul isn't saying that we should have love and have joy and be long-suffering and have the other qualities as well. He isn't saying that. He's saying that these characteristics should grow within us as we continue our walk to the kingdom. So let's think about some of these characteristics then, so we can help them to grow in our lives. We're going to think about the first one, love. Remember when Jesus said that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind? And he said, the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And he went on to say that on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. If we think about it, if we love God and we love man, then we'd actually be keeping all 10 commandments anyway, wouldn't we? And I think something similar applies here with the fruit of the Spirit. If we truly develop love, then we will be developing many of the other characteristics too. The lawyer, when he was talking to Jesus, wanted to find out who his neighbor was. And you'll remember that the Lord taught the parable of the Good Samaritan. And he wasn't only teaching us about who our neighbor is. He was also teaching us about love so that we might know what loving God and loving our neighbor looks like. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, the priest and the Levite didn't show any love at all for the man who had been robbed, did they? But the Good Samaritan wasn't in a hurry to get past. He was patient, And he was kind to a complete stranger, even though the Jews wanted nothing at all to do with the Samaritans. The Samaritan was not proud, was he? He was keen to help. He was willing to put his own life in danger in order to be kind to the man who had been robbed. He was selfless, wasn't he? Rather than self-seeking. Paul tells us in that chapter in 1 Corinthians, chapter 13, you remember, is the love chapter. He tells us there that love is patient and kind. It is not proud or self-seeking. All four of those things coming out in that parable of the Good Samaritan. Have you ever wondered why the lawyer asked the question that he did? Why did he say to Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Why didn't he ask Jesus, "What loving God with all your heart and soul and mind" meant? Maybe he knew. Well, heart is about feelings, isn't it? In scripture, soul is about our whole being. It is about actions, and mind is about thinking. And all these things come from our thoughts. It's about what we feel and what we do and what we think. And if we have God and our neighbors in our minds and not ourselves, then we're on the right road. Well, the second of these characteristics mentioned in the fruit of the Spirit is joy. What about joy? We're exhorted. We're exhorted to be cheerful. The word means to be calmly happy. We read of the Lord Jesus in Hebrews 12, don't we? "For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross." Jesus was thinking about the future, wasn't he? The joy of being at the right hand of God and the joy of the kingdom. And we have every reason to be cheerful too, don't we? Because of what the Lord has done for us. He gives us pleasures now, but the promise of the kingdom is just wonderful, isn't it? Sometimes when we look around at our brothers and sisters, they don't always look cheerful, do they? My wife sometimes asks me why I am frowning. Why are you frowning? And it's because I'm thinking. Why I can't think and smile at the same time, I don't know. But yeah, apparently I tend to frown when I'm thinking. We're exhorted, aren't we, to be happy, and joy is part of the fruit. So we need to encourage our happiness to grow as we walk towards the kingdom. Peace is next, and that word can mean tranquility or security or safety, but the word peace here in the fruit of the Spirit isn't any of that at all. It's not about having a peaceful life. It's not about what other people and the world might do to us to prevent us from having peace. This is one of the characteristics that we should grow in our lives. How can we grow peace in our lives? What does it mean? It's talking here about peace between individuals. It's talking about harmony or accord. And that's something that we can improve as we walk towards the kingdom. Living in peace with our brothers and sisters is the exhortation that Paul is giving us. What about long-suffering? We know about some people being short-tempered, don't we? Well, long-suffering is about being long-tempered. Long-tempered, sorry. Have you ever said something like, I've put up with this for long enough? Well, the exhortation here is to put up with it for a bit longer. It's one of the qualities that the Almighty God has, isn't it? He is long-suffering with us when we keep getting it wrong. Kindness is next. The word is about doing kind things for our brothers and sisters, rather than about speaking kind words. It's about doing rather than speaking. And we show kindness, don't we, if we take notice of when our brother or sister needs help and we help. Goodness is next in the list. How is that different from kindness? What's the difference between goodness and kindness? Do you remember Paul's words in Romans when he says, it's Romans 7, I think, isn't it? I do not do the good I want, but the evil that I don't want to do, that's what I keep doing. So it's not easy, is it? Every day we make choices, don't we? And if we can just make the good choices more often, then our goodness will grow as fruit should. Faith or faithfulness is next. And this is not about us having faith in the Almighty God, which of course we should have, and we all do have. This is about something that we, again, can grow in our lives as we walk towards the kingdom. It's about being trustworthy, about being true to our word, about being true to our responsibilities, about standing up for the truth rather than keeping quiet when we're put in a situation like that. There's just two more to go. Gentleness or meekness. And this is not to be confused with weakness, is it? Meekness is about humility, not putting ourselves first. And my favourite example here is of Nebuchadnezzar. We spoke about him earlier. Nebuchadnezzar was humbled by the Almighty God. Nebuchadnezzar was a very proud man. You may recall his speech as he stood in his palace, overlooking his kingdom. And he said these words, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? That was a proud man with a proud speech, wasn't it? And God brought him low. Before he had even finished speaking, God told him that his kingdom was being taken away from him. And his mind was disturbed and he was made to eat grass like the oxen. And when his understanding did return to him, sometime later, he gave a very, very different speech. And this is what he said. I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven. And he continued, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Yes, Nebuchadnezzar had learnt his lesson, hadn't he? Our humility needs to grow. We need to not think highly of ourselves. We need to think about our Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus, and to think about others rather than ourselves. Temperance is the last one, and it's about self-control. Oh, this one is so difficult, isn't it? Easy when we all want the same things, isn't it? Easy then. When we're all walking in the same direction, it's easy. We want to try and improve our self-control, don't we? We want to try and improve our self-control with our brothers and our sisters. We want to all walk together, don't we, to the kingdom. We want our brothers and sisters to gain that wonderful salvation that the Almighty God has offered to us through the sacrifice of his Son. We don't want to hurt them, do we? We don't want to demonstrate that we know best and fail on that humility characteristic, do we? We want to demonstrate the love that we have for God and for his Son and for our brothers and sisters. Our God who gave his Son so that through his mercy we might gain a place in his kingdom to live forevermore, serving the Almighty God, being with his Son. His Son, our Lord Jesus, who laid down his life, his perfect life, voluntarily, in sacrifice for us. And we remember his life and his sacrifice now as we share bread and wine together as he commanded us. And we pray for forgiveness. And we pray that God will help us to grow the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And we pray that God will send his Son back soon. And that by his grace, he will grant us all a place in the glories of that time.